Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Huh? I think that's right.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Hello, hello, Shay.
Welcome to the Halo Halo Show, everybody.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to those who celebrated Holy Week and went out of town or stayed in town or whatever you did. Hopefully you had a good long weekend, and we are back in effect. Welcome to the Halo Halo Show, everyone.
Hello, welcome. Come on closer, listen in, keep warm, get your coffee or whatever.
This is where you can shit all your problems. Back. All your problems will be solved here on this fucking podcast.
Oh, I wish. I fucking wish. Honestly, this point in my life is just fuck.
Anyway,
welcome back to the Halo Halo Show, everybody. Mm-hmm. We took a break for a bit, just like everybody else, and you all deserve it.
Yes, indeed.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything and anything under the sun, especially stuff that trended in the Philippines, because we are both Filipinos. Yeah. That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Although Rika is all the way in the UK, I'm here in Manila, but we still get things done, and we'll talk about the format a little bit for all the new coming Leche fans out there. So like Rika said, we do talk about the trending topics, or the TTs, as we affectionately call them, as we've called them for the last 8 years or so. 8 years, na ba? Oh my God, 8 years. We've been doing this for six years. Anyway, so we start with where you been before we delve into the TT. So where you been is where we talk about our own lives, where we share our joys, our frustrations. A lot of frustrations today on my end, as well as Rika's, and I think as well. But we'll talk about that. And then if you, the TTs for today, we are talking about, I think we have two TTs. The first one is about the golden retriever that was attacked by somebody. There was even a trending hashtag, or I don't know if it was a hashtag, but it was the trending term was justice for Kilua, after people found out why or how the golden retriever was attacked and killed. We'll talk about that and the developments that happened after, you know, there's some news that came out after that, after the initial like reaction video that people saw. And then we're also going to talk about the a singer named Shaira, who is a Shaira Moro, actually. That's, I think, her full name. She's a Filipina singer, and there was some action taken against one of her songs, which apparently there were some copyright issues with a singer named Lenka, who you might know. She sang the song The Show. I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. So we'll talk about that. Shaira's song Celos and why it was taken down. You can jump straight to those timestamps in the podcast description if you want to go straight to the TTs. But let's start with where you been. And I believe you start this
week.
It's
my turn.
Yes, indeedy. Yeah.
This week and last week was just normal days where I just work and watch stuff on TV. But one thing that I do want to say is that I watched Quiet on Set, which is the documentary about Nickelodeon Kids TV back in the 90s and early 2000s. So the time where Amanda Bynes and Drake Bell and everybody else, you know,
all
Keenan
that.
And Kel, they were all
Keenan and Kel,
all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Keenan and Kel.
Me too.
Good Burger, the Good Burger. Oh, I love that.
I love Keenan and Kel.
But yeah, the documentary, it's such an interesting juxtaposition of what you remember from what they're revealing now on the documentary. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
Okay.
But can I just say that, just a big disclaimer, it will talk about very serious stuff. So you have to be ready for that. Because I literally, my jaw dropped, my mouth was open for the whole entire third episode. I could not believe it. Yeah. And I couldn't believe that these people kept their mouth shut all these years.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, everything that happened involved kids. And you know that when kids are involved in a court case, everything is sealed. They're all, their identities are just not, you know, out in the public. And if ever you do take them public, it will have serious consequences on you as a person or a journalist or a reporter or anything.
Right.
And I kind of understand why people did not have any idea who it is. So, and especially like watching that documentary, it really made me think about how, like, how people are treating kids in these adult jobs. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, they're in front of the camera. They have fame and fortune and money and everything. But it does work on a different level when you work with kids in TV, basically. Not just in TV shows, but in movies and everything. So it is such a harrowing thing to see. Literally, as in, like, lahat na ng cliche things you can say. Like, I was at the edge of my seat. Everything was riveting. Lahat. As in, ganon. Tas parang,
it's episodic, right? Like, it's multiple episodes.
It's episode. It's, I think right now they have 4 episodes out. They have another one coming out soon, I believe.
Okay.
But everything was just, grabe. I could not believe it because I grew up watching Nickelodeon more than Disney, honestly.
Yeah, same here.
And Nickelodeon, I remember all of the TV shows that they were showing on the documentary. And just finding out about what happened behind the scenes just did not sit well with me. But alam mo yung parang, it's such a complicated feeling because when I was a kid, when we were all kids, you remember these things with such good memory and gave you good feelings. And now, as an adult, they're giving you the perspective that actually a lot of these scenes were sexually charged. It was like, and daming sexual innuendos. And looking back, you're like, what the fuck? Oh, nga no. Like, there were, and I remember a bunch of those scenes. Hits. Obviously, when you were a kid, you'd never really think that it's, you know, anything that's related to porn or sex or anything sexual.
Right.
But it's such a weird feeling that why was I allowed to see that? You know what I mean? As a kid, why was it okay to just watch it on TV and nobody batted an eye, said anything? And grabe, sobrang dami mo maiisip while watching that documentary. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I realized is that although it is, you know, it's kids TV, it's Hollywood, it's all that glitz and glam that nobody really knows about unless you're in that world, pero you have to realize that these are actual human beings. Yeah. These are people behind these names that you know as Amanda Bynes. Alam mo, may actual na tao that you know, goes through all of these.
That's why Amanda Bynes, I mean, things. If you guys have followed Amanda Bynes' story, that's why she kind of fell out of the spotlight for a good amount of time. Actually, up until now, I think she's kind of off the map already, off the radar.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
So, and it makes you understand them more now as an adult. And it also gives you kind of like a chance to look inside you, especially if you're a person who has experienced trauma. Mm-hmm. I mean, they talk a lot about therapy there and, you know, grief and moving on and self-esteem. So hopefully this is a step towards the right direction on how we talk to kids and how we treat kids, and not just in a professional environment, but like in your family, in your inner circle, because kids are, they're literally like clay. What, however you talk to them, whatever you say to them, it will stay that way, and it can have such a deep effect on who they are and how they grow.
Long term, right? For life.
Long term, yeah. And even like within me, napaisip ako na, oh nga no, like all those things that were said to me when I was a kid, yeah, in my head, you know, it wasn't such a bad thing, but I still think about it now. Alam mo yun, yung parang may effect siya sa akin na, na nung sinasabihan ako na like ang pangit ko kasi maitim ako or something, how come I still remember it and I still think about it now even though it happened to me as a kid? Because these things stick with you and
trauma,
you know, so I highly recommend Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, I think that's it, and they talk about a bunch of bunch
yeah,
of
yeah, here in the Philippines, I don't know where
there.
To pick it because they Discovery Plus or whatever is gone.
Plus,
is
yeah.
gone here. I think they don't. I think they stopped operating, and then it's on HBO Max. But here it's HBO Go. I tried to look for it on HBO Go. Wala. So you might just have to special agent John it for now if you can't find
for a bit
it. For a bit, you know, because I want to watch
but
it.
It is something else. You have to be ready.
Yeah.
It wasn't a nice thing to
right.
get out of. Like, alam mo yun, yung parang, you know how sometimes you watch something, it makes you feel good. This will not make you feel good.
All
right. Grabe talaga. As in, up until now, I kind of feel, alam mo yung parang, you know how sometimes you feel secondhand shame?
Yeah.
Pero ako iba eh, secondhand, like, sadness. I feel like that's what I
yes.
feel.
Yes.
That's, oh my gosh. Anyway, I recommend that one. I also watched the documentary on Netflix about the MH370. I think it's been going around as well. So it's the Malaysian Airlines that just went out of the radar.
Yeah.
Like nobody knew where it is. Mm-hmm. 2024 is actually the 10-year anniversary of the MH370. And again, there is a lot of talk going around about the plane and the Malaysian government, how... you know, the steps that they're taking to actually find or not find the plane, but more like find out what really happened.
Yeah, that thing is gone,
so,
bro. Because they fucking lost the plane. There's no way they're finding that ever again, I think. I mean,
but the thing is,
I
think...
not be pessimistic, but...
Yeah. But the thing is, I think what people are really looking for, especially from the Malaysian government, is kind of like accountability.
Yeah.
And that willingness to still look for it and not just like, oh, sorry, wala na, bye-bye. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, ganon. Well, like,
yeah.
I think that's what they're looking for now, especially now that it's been 10 years. But man, also that documentary, again, is just not a... Wow.
I remember we talked about it on here, I think when I watched it. It's the one on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, like, I still can't fathom, like, how you lose a plane. Like, I get that the, you know what I mean? Like, the technology and shit. I mean, I know it was 10 years ago, but even at that time, was it 2014? They still had, like, all the shit that you would need to not lose a plane, bro. It's so wild. And then you see the, you know, in the documentary, if it's the same one that we watched, like, there's so much, like, there's, like, so much politics involved in terms of, like, releasing information in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Man, what
so,
a messed up thing.
And yeah, it is. So that one I also watched. In the movies, we watched Ghostbusters, the one with Paul Rudd.
The new one?
New one.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, Frozen. Not
yeah,
like
the,
Let
the,
It Go,
the,
but
yeah,
like
the, yeah, the ice one, right? Where everything freezes.
The ice
is it good?
One. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I really like the whole evil monster ghost thingy that, you know, how they portrayed it because basta nakakatakot siya. And I think it's really good for kids. You know, it's a type of horror movie that is, I feel like, appropriate. But in fairness, may mga times na natakot talaga ako. As in. And there was also a time that I fell asleep. So,
there you go.
You know, whatever. There we go. You
classic Rika in the movie theater.
I know,
so,
in the movies.
I feel like you have like a 50% falling asleep rate when you go to
theaters. For sure.
Even good movies,
even
I feel
if
like.
Even good movies, even if I'm not sleepy, even if I had like 8 hours of sleep the past evening, nothing will stop me from sleeping in
is
cinema.
Is it cold
now.
There? Kasi lamig na mga cinemas dito. They're so fucking cold
no.
here.
Actually, yun nga yung parang naninibago din ako. So,
okay.
Kasi every time I watch in the movie theaters here, ano siya, like room temp? Warm.
Okay.
Kasi paglabas mo, sobrang lamig.
Okay.
So,
kasi dito lamig. Lalo yung Ayala Mall Cinema, I'm looking at
dude,
you guys.
Yeah, dude.
Lamig dun! It's so fucking cold in those
diba?
Cinemas. My God.
But I love going to the movies.
Same.
Back in the Philippines, I love going to the movies because that's a time where you can like layer up, alam mo yan, like, you know, show off your new jacket or whatever that you don't really get to wear anywhere else. So, yeah, I watched that one. Paul Rudd is still, actually, alam mo ba, I feel like there were some scenes there where you kind of know that they're trying to be funny, but they can't, alam mo yun, kasi this is like the audience is mostly kids, right?
Yeah.
So parang hindi sila pwede maging parang sarcastically funny or something. So, or maybe, just thinking about it, maybe those funny scenes were meant to be for the adults. You know what I mean?
Paul Rudd is like a life goal in terms of like aging. Dude, you know he's like 50 yeah, something, dude. Right? He's 50.
Yeah.
Or 53 or 54.
He looks good.
He looks great.
And then one of the stars there is McKenna Grace, which I love. She's on a bunch of movies, and she's on Young Sheldon. She's just like such a good actress for me. And I don't actually know if you can call it a love interest at that point. Kasi parang my thing with a ghost or whatever. So maybe, I'm not sure. Okay. That wasn't a spoiler. So yeah, we have a guest here, my friend Charlotte. She is real. Okay, she's here.
Oh, she's in your apartment.
Yeah, she's in our apartment.
She has a lot of fans, man. My cousin's always asking about Charlotte because she listens to the podcast.
Charlotte is real, and Charlotte is outside. I wish I could ask her to be here, like, but I feel like it would just be she would not be ready. But yes, she is real, and that's it. I think that's what's been happening lately. I always have to like look at my photos just to see what's been happening. That's it, honestly. I've just been going to the. I've been going to the gym a lot, which is great. And I want to say fan.
Yeah, well, speaking of the gym, you guys can't see me. Rika can see me. Dude, I'm down 22 pounds, baby.
Amazing.
I'm down 22 pounds courtesy of basketball and eating clean. You know how they always say, like, you can lose weight with just diet. And I believe that. But the exercising part, like, it really helps in terms of, well, you know, like the endorphins and shit, but I really think it helps suppress my appetite. I'm sure there's some science behind it where if you work out or maybe parang nahihinayin lang na shit, I worked out and I play basketball, I don't want to overeat and like kind of ruin what I just worked towards. But yeah, man, I think I've been healthy living, at least in that area of life. I've been healthy living. And it's been great, man. I've been playing a lot of basketball. I've been hitting the gym and then eating clean. Over the weekend, I hosted an event with Lexi, my former radio partner Lexi, at a golf club. You know those golf clubs that we'll never afford? Yeah, I was at one of those.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
My goodness. Like, they were raffling off cars and...
Wow.
It's just, you know, it's one of those country clubs. I mean, I don't know how much the membership is to that club, but... You know, I remember looking at Alabang Country Club, right? Or there's a country club in Alabang. And I know the membership fee is like in the seven digits.
In the
right?
Millions.
It's in the millions. Yeah. Right? Because you have to like buy a share of it or whatever.
Exactly.
So, you know, I was rubbing elbows with Lexi and all these rich people over there.
The board members.
were there. Yeah. It was cool though because Lexi's father-in-law is like the main dude there. You know, his dad is the main dude at that golf thing. So that's why they were able to book that event. But yeah, it's a nice place. I forgot the name of it's like something Palms. I forgot. It's in like
Palms Country Club.
Yeah, I think it might be that one.
Okay.
You have to go down Ortigas Ave. Yeah. So that direction.
Wait. Is it in Alabang?
No. It's like in Marikina, like down Ortigas.
Oh, okay.
Down that way, yeah. It's a nice.
So another country club that we're not. We're
never
going
to be part of. Yeah, you don't need to know where it is. All right. Other than that, man, I've been watching a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. But the thing is, I always forget what I watch because I watch so much shit. Like, I have all the streaming platforms. I recently watched for the first time this movie called Sideways, which stars Paul Giamatti, because I recently watched him in The Holdovers, and I thought he was really great. I mean, he's always been great in everything that I've seen him in, but as great as he was in The Holdovers, people, you know, when I was reading the mga discussions on the film saying that this is great, but I think his greatest role is in Sideways. And I watched Sideways. It's on Disney Plus here. It's a good movie, man. It's a good movie. But it's a slow burn. It's one of those, you know, I feel like I've appreciated movies that kind of show a slice of life more now that I'm older. I feel like if I watched Sideways when I was in when I was like 20, I'd be so bored. But there's a lot of relatable issues in that movie that I feel like because I've gone through some of those issues, it kind of hits more now. Same thing with another movie that I watch on Disney Plus called Nomadland. Have you seen that movie?
No, Nomadland.
It won Best Picture like 2 or 3 years ago. It stars Frances McDormand, who is a great actress. She won Best Actress for that film. Dude, that movie is a slow burn, but I kind of felt it deeper this time. I don't know. I felt I really felt like
is this the one where there's a billboard?
No, no, but that movie's awesome too. Three Billboards Outside of
that movie. That one is really good.
Yeah, but Nomadland, starring Frances McDormand. It's the story of this woman who she lost her husband like a few years ago. She lost like the place where she was living because of like something that happened. So she just goes in her van and kind of just is a nomad driving around the United States and shit. And like it explores that because this is an actual community. It's something that I actually thought of doing like when I was in the States a long time ago. Yeah. There are communities, and it's not like you know how sometimes you imagine yung mga malaking RV, like the big RVs with a bathroom. No, she's just living out of her van, and she goes to these communities and she meets other people who also live out of their cars, live out of their homes. There's even this one guy in the film who's actually a well-known. Like van guy, he gives tips on. I don't know if he has a YouTube channel, but it was really interesting to see. Have you ever thought about living on the road like a cowboy?
I always encounter all of those TikTok videos where there are people living in their vans, and I always think that I feel like you need a bunch of money for you to be living in a van and for you to choose that lifestyle. But then again. I know that there are some people who don't really choose that lifestyle, that they just have to live in their vehicle, that they have to do it. So, alam mo yun, yung parang hindi rin ako sure if it's something that is... Kasi alam mo yung parang, obviously, I grew up in the Philippines, and, you know, I've always had that idea na, you know, meron kang stability when you have a place of your own, like a home or anything. Uh-huh. Na parang you see how hard it is to live in the streets or to not have a home, diba?
Right. So, a roof over your head.
So, yeah, a roof over your head. So parang it's not something that is like a concept to me.
Yeah. And I guess, especially here, I think, kasi wala masyadong ano eh. I feel like, especially here in the Philippines, they don't have any sort of facilities or parking. Because in the States, meron talagang designated ano eh. Like
oh, diba may mga parking. Showers?
There's like showers and a camping area. Here, I don't think, I mean, outside of like yung mga glamping stuff that you see from resorts and stuff, but those you have to pay for. Like, I don't think there are any free amenities here. And so I don't think it's really that
feasible. Would you say, I'm not like painting it in a bad light or anything, but would you say that is in some way kind of like poverty porn? You know what?
Definitely. That movie, I was reading the comments on Nomadland. There's a lot of people, the ones who disliked the movie said like, yeah, it's giving poverty porn. And I can see why.
Kasi,
I get it.
Kasi parang, diba, there is that concept na why would you choose to do that when you have all of these opportunities and all of these... kumbaga parang maganda naman yung buhay mo, but you know, like people in more developed countries, sometimes they really choose to put themselves in that situation and make it kind of like a novelty for a lot of people, especially now on social media. You know, I remember there was this one travel influencer taking a video where she's like on top of a van with like a bunch of people, or they're traveling across the border or something like that, and people are saying that, dude, that's the reality of some people, and they don't like it. And you put yourself in that situation and put it on the internet so that you get likes and comments.
Yeah, it's
alam mo yung ganon. But also, it makes you think, but what if they just really want to experience that?
Yeah. In terms of the film, you know, like people saying that it was poverty porn, I could see where they're coming from. But the film also does delve into like, well, it doesn't explicitly say it. You kind of have to read between the lines. See, Frances McDormand's character in this case, You can tell why she's doing it. She's dealing with a lot of grief, grief of losing her husband, losing her home, and kind of just like not feeling like she belongs. And it doesn't, I mean, as much as I don't think it does, I don't think it glorifies the, it, at least in the film, because it looks uncomfortable, man. Like the, a lot of the scenes, she's like shitting in a bucket and like, it's fucking, it's not pretty, man. It's not pretty. So it's not like one of those, you know, I get where you're coming from, where people like influencers, they're like, look at me, I'm in the open road, I grow my own. I mean, more power to them, right? If they're really happy doing that. But if they're just doing it just to show like, but and they can just go home to their fancy house or whatever after filming.
Dude,
I see, I can, I get that.
That's what is like mind-boggling to me, because I remember I encountered this one like van influencer where they do have like this whole decked out van where everything is like filtered water. They have a shower in there and blah, blah, blah. And then when they decided to just buy a home, they could.
Right.
And then they just said that, oh, you know, like we're stopping our van life, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
it kind of made me uncomfortable. Na parang, damn. Like, look at how much privilege you have that, to have all of those choices.
It's hard, like, to live out of your car.
Yeah.
Did I talk about that before here? I think I told you, or at least on the podcast. I didn't do it. Like, I lived out of my car for like a week, because, but not, then this is where the privilege, I could have gone home, but because we lived kind of far and I was working three jobs at the time. So I like showered in the gym and then I stayed in my car for like a week. That was pretty crazy. Like I slept, and there were times when my shift would be like, my shift would be done at the movie theater at like 2 a.m. But I had a shift at Old Navy at like 5, because I had to do inventory stuff. So I remember my cousin will vouch for this because he's a listener. He'll tell you, like, there is a time when we would sleep in our cars outside the parking, in the parking lot, just so that we would save gas and everything. But it is not easy, man. For your first, you're afraid that, like, you know, you could get mugged or security.
Yeah, people can just like break your window.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So anyway, Nomadland. It's a good movie, but it is really slow. So I think you have to watch it with a certain frame of mind in terms of like maybe just to see a different perspective of a different slice of life of how people live, some people live. So yeah, that, those are the films that I watched. And
speaking of films, I actually forgot one of the films that I watched the past 2 weeks. I finished Maze Runner, like the four movies.
The third one is split into two, right? It's the Scorch. No, wait. The first one, and then the second one. I think it's just three. One. Isn't it the first one, the second one, and the third one was split into two?
I don't think so. The third one was like
the third one's where they the third one, like the second one. Wait, which is the one where the hot Asian guy gets abducted? Is that the second movie?
The second movie, yeah.
The second movie, see Min-ho, right? He got abducted.
Yeah.
And then the third movie, they rescue him and they solve everything in one movie.
So it's the Maze Runner, the Scorch Trials, and the Death Cure. That's it.
Ah, so walang Death Cure Part 2. Hindi nila, no? They didn't split it into.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So tell us your thoughts about the Maze Runner. First time watching it, huh?
First time watching it. Okay. And you know that I am a big fan of like dystopian films, like after the apocalypse or something like that. First of all, the zombies, or what do they call them? I don't know, the Kraken? I don't know. I forgot.
I forgot, didn't I?
They have their own term for the zombies.
Right, right.
Could be better. Could be better. Still, the best one is from Last of Us for me, the zombies.
Oh, yeah. Good show.
Yeah. For me, that's the best. The second one would be from I Am Legend for me.
How about Train to Busan?
The best zombies. Ooh. I think it's like a generic. The Train to Busan ones are very scary, but it's just like it lacks a bit more, you know, pizzazz. Talagang meron ako. May rating ako ng zombies, eh. Bakit ba?
World War Z. Where would you rank World War Z zombies?
The World War Z zombies. I like the idea behind why, or like behind like the whole the World War Z.
Right.
The cure and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But zombie wise, it is not on my list.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, so I think ang dami ko lang questions while I was watching it. Feeling ko may mga loopholes. Maybe I wasn't just that into it.
No, I think there really were. Like they didn't.
Yeah,
they didn't
there were a lot of loopholes.
Well, the last, because the first movie I thought was really good. The second and third were kind of parang hindi nila na kuha yung ano. Like
yung first question ko, ito from the first movie pa lang. Ang first question ko is that a simulation or is it not? Kasi from the first movie, they do some flashbacks, right? When they were in the facility of Wicked, which is like the
governing
that
body
that manages
right?
all the governing body of the maze. Yeah. So ang question ko is it a simulation? Kasi nagmumukha na simulation siya na naka-submerge yung players of the maze in like water or in a tube or whatever. Tapos, yun yung akala ko, na simulation lang siya. It's all in their heads. Kasi they're testing them out. And then they're gonna like extract the thing from their blood or whatever for the cure.
I don't think,
so
I forgot,
yun yung parang...
No, parang they were just the flashbacks kasi, before they got in, they were put in there.
And then after that...
Dylan O'Brien, right? His flashbacks?
Yeah, Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yun yung initial parang question ko na, simulation ba to or hindi? Kasi how are they going to... How are they going to extract those whatever, the cure, if they're dead from the maze?
Yeah.
But apparently, okay, so yung maze yung parang test if you are like... I know,
chosen.
Parang... Ewan ko. If you're chosen. Right. Di ba? Parang ang daming hindi mo... Hindi siya parang holistic na world.
Right.
Unlike, let's say, Hunger Games or something like that. You know what I mean? Kasi parang ang second question ko is, if you think that they are the cure, why do you keep killing them?
Yeah.
Why? You gotta stop killing them because they're the cure.
Yeah.
So, alam mo yun, even from the last movie, kasi diba may villain in the last movie which was like the security head or whatever.
Yeah.
And keeps killing these kids, and I'm thinking, dude, you gotta save your coins. These are your ticket out of, you know, you gotta chill out. This is your ticket out of the apocalypse.
I'm so glad the girl died at the end. I found her so annoying.
I know.
I was so happy. Yeah. I was like, thank you. Because I never read the book, so I didn't know if that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
I was like, yes! I hate you.
For me, as in parang nung when the girl finally found out that the cure was in Dylan O'Brien's blood, tapos di ba parang i-announce niya in the like the anong tawag mo doon sa
broadcast?
Speaker.
Yeah.
Ibabroadcast niya na bumalik ka dito, we need your blood. Why was she being so vague about it? Like, can't you just say, dude, balik ka dito, ikaw yung answer sa lahat. I would have been like, dude, balik ka na dito, as in, now na. Ganon. Why be so vague, man? I feel like yung love interest or the love arc of that movie is a bit forced.
Yeah.
It's a bit forced.
I was like, I was so whatever on the girl. I was more invested in Minho and then yung Love Actually guy. I forgot his name in the movie.
Yeah.
The skinny, lanky guy who dies at the end.
Newt.
I was more into the kids, like the side characters, than I was into the main dude.
Cause honestly, I feel like yung isa sa parang pinaka questions ko din is bakit nawala sa maze when the whole idea of the series is the maze runner. Parang nawala na yung maze aspect of it, diba?
Yes, yeah.
So anyway. That was that. Still, it was a good movie. I still kept thinking about, man, The Hunger Games is still so much better.
That's my opinion. In fairness, I really like the first movie a lot.
True. I like the glade.
Like you said,
when they
got out of the maze, because I never read the book, so I guess I wasn't, I was hoping for more like just maze survival shit. But no, they literally exactly, moved on from the maze and it went
they
into
got out of the maze.
An apocalypse zombie.
You know what I mean?
You know, thriller.
Because I really like the idea of the Glade, which is like the community that they set up inside the maze. Yeah. And I feel like there's so much potential in that whole thing na ang nangyari lang is wala, nakalabas lang sila. When in fact, if you put them in just that, in the Glade or in the maze, I'm sure at one point mag-aaway-aaway sila, diba? They're gonna go against each other.
Lord of the Flies kind of style.
Lord of the Flies, exactly!
Right? Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I watched and I think that's it.
That's it. All right. Finn, I think Finn on that. Let's wapow to our first CT.
Wapow!
Let's talk about, let's start with Shira, huh? The singer Shira. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Shira Moro, who released a song named Celos. It was released on her YouTube channel and I think her streaming platforms. And apparently the song called Celos actually used a sample from a song from the singer named Lenka. The name of the song is Trouble is a Friend. So I listened back to it and I really couldn't tell because I guess I wasn't that familiar with Lenka's original song. But someone did comment, an internet user did comment on Lenka's, I think, Instagram saying, hey, are you aware that there's a singer using you or whatever? And Lenka did reply saying, yeah, we're taking legal action. And the legal action did take place because Shira Moro did have to take off had to take it down. So they did, you know, in the aftermath of this all, yung parang label or like the management ni Shira said that they are trying to secure now the license to make Celos an official cover of Lenka's song Trouble is a Friend. But the fact that it even got out there without all the proper, you know, I don't know what it is, permits or copyright. I don't know what you get. You get like a license, like, I guess.
I think so. And you need to have the permission of the artist and the label and everything. It's a whole system in place, obviously, to avoid these things.
Yeah. So that's what's happening right now. So they got caught using it. Now they're trying to go through the right channels to make sure that they can use it. So I'm guessing that involves, you know, monetary compensation for the use of the song or the sample. But what really gets me is, and I saw this on Reddit as well, is that there are so many Pinoys that are upset at Lenka. There are so many of them that are like, oh, look, you know, because of this song, I now heard your song. You know what I mean? Like, they
what,
are.
What do you mean?
Actually, like because they maybe they never heard of Lenka's song. So now that this all happening, there's a lot of comments on. And a lot of it is passive aggressive. If you check it out on Lenka's YouTube video of her song saying, oh, you know, I was brought here because of Shira's song. Like, they're not saying explicitly, like, why did you make her take it down? But you can, there's a little bit of a hint of, you didn't have to do that. But of course she did, right?
Of course she had I guess initially my thoughts were, alam ba niya? Was there some sort of like, ni Shira na parang, was there some sort of like admittance na, actually, alam ko talaga, and this was ganyan. Alam mo yun, yung parang, or did they really think that it would never fly? Yun ba yun? Kasi parang minsan naisip ko, what if as an artist, gumawa ka lang because of like, you're influenced by this artist or, you know, idol mo siya or something. Gumawa ka ng something not knowing that it will blow up. And then eventually when it did blow up,
then
now
like, oh,
you
no,
have to take
now
this.
I have to do yeah. yeah. It makes
kasi
you...
Parang
I,
if,
di ba you listen yeah, to... I mean, on TikTok, right? There are times when, like, what if this song was R&B?
Exactly.
They do that and then that shit pops off. And they even have, like, they have it on Spotify sometimes. Like they, you know, it's originally a TikTok video and then they put it on Spotify. So maybe it's along the same lines as that.
The thing is, I think the difference with that is they make it known at the start that this is kind of like quote unquote parody or this is kind of like my own take of the original song, meaning there is credit to the original song. Maybe that was a difference here because there was no such credit that was made even before this was made or this was, you know, like now that it's in public. So I think maybe that's the difference. Kasi nga, wala. I mean, like, a lot of people just thought that this was an original Shaira, diba? Which is not supposed to be.
Yeah, and I couldn't, honestly, I couldn't tell. I mean, I guess you really have to know Lenka's original song, because when I listened to them kind of, not back to back, well, I guess back to back, right? Or at least on top of each other, I tried to play them. I have to kind of really listen hard to be like, oh, okay, I see. Yeah. Because, well, A, you know, no shade to Shaira, I don't really like the song. I tried to listen to it. It's not for me. But yun nga, as is stated here, just to kind of give more context. So AHS Productions, I believe, is like the management or the management ni Shaira. They did release on their Facebook saying, on behalf of our artist Shaira, AHS Productions would like to convey our heartfelt apologies to all those who have enjoyed listening to the song Celos, as it is now unavailable in all online streaming platforms. This is a voluntary act on our end, as we are still making arrangements with regards to the legality of the publication of the song. So it doesn't seem like they're really taking accountability for...
responsibility,
They're just saying, sorry that you can't listen to Shaira's song. Anyway, it goes on to say, we have chosen to take it down from all platforms pending our agreement with the original artist's management on securing a cover license for Celos. As many of you know, the melody is originally from the song Trouble's a Friend, and as of the moment, we are already in contact with our team for us to make Celos an official cover. So
maybe that's it. That's the line that where they take responsibility by saying that actually the original tune, the original song was from, you know, from Lenka, and now they're taking action or they're taking steps for it to be legal, to be posted online and actually gain some traction or gain money from it. Kasi I think ang pinaka tricky dun is when somebody gets money out of it. When somebody gets popularity out of it. Kasi can you imagine, I don't think Lenka would bat an eye if somebody did that but they got, what, 10 views. Right, you know, it's right, not, diba?
And it's not, I mean, this happens to even big name artists. Do you remember when Pharrell and Robin Thicke, I don't know if they got sued, but for their song Blurred Lines, they supposedly used a parang sample ni Marvin Gaye. And I think Marvin Gaye's like team, or I guess his estate or his family, I don't know who handles Marvin Gaye's, like, you know, music rights. I think they actually won that case. So,
kasi I think sampling is different eh. Kasi parang merong this whole thing with copyright. Yeah, sampling is allowed, and there is some sort of like legal thing that you have to agree on with the team of the other artist. Mm. So it's different with this when it's like the whole song, I guess.
Yeah.
So I really hope that I really, really want to get somebody who's an expert on copyright, because this is such an interesting issue. Because even now, like, I know Ed Sheeran got sued. There's a bunch of people like Rihanna, so many. Mm. And I think like the tricky thing here is obviously how famous the artist is and how deep their pockets are. Because can you imagine if you're like, you know, like a small town singer who put out that song 10 years ago and then Beyonce suddenly uses it in her, let's say, sabihin lang natin na, this isn't true, but suddenly Beyonce uses it in her own album. Like, paano mo siya i-co-contest when you don't even have money to like hire lawyers or something like that? Parang ganun, diba?
Money talks.
Unless it is explicitly taken from your original work. Kasi minsan, parang ilalaban pa yan ng other party where they said, actually, parang katunog lang naman, but honestly, it doesn't really sound like it. Kasi, if I'm not mistaken, there are like a number of notes or something for it to be considered na may copyright issue. Parang ganun.
I watched the YouTube video before. It was so interesting. I forgot the name of the channel, the name of the video, but I think it was during the time when I was following a copy. I think it might have been the Ed Sheeran one. I forgot. And they were playing these songs that sounded so similar. And then the guy, I think it was a guy, was dissecting it, saying, but, you know, like, this is a common key that is used and blah, blah, blah. It was so weird. I was like, what? That sounds exactly the same. But then when you see the thing that was contested, they're like, that doesn't even sound the same at all. How is that, like, worse? You know what I mean? Like, how is this more of an infringement than it is, than the other examples he showed? It was really crazy.
Yeah, there really is, you know, a whole system behind it. Parang may mga chord progression na usually naman talaga ginagamit, and that's why we have like these bangers that you hear, and these bangers are usually, they sound the same, diba? Parang narinig mo yun eh. How come all of the popular songs right now sound the same? Yeah. It's because, you know, it gets the people, I don't know,
it's into provocative. It gets the people
gets the people going, anyway. And it doesn't mean that they're infringing anybody. So
yeah. So any more thoughts on this? I mean, at least the management has kind of, they're taking the steps to secure the rights or whatever they need. But yeah, any more thoughts on Shaira Moro and this whole
I just really wanted to know if like she knew or they knew, or was it kasi parang it was their malice.
Yeah, I feel like they were like, I don't know, because it was a tick. I never heard the song. Apparently, it was a big TikTok hit at the end of last year, 2023. I'd never heard the song before.
I saw it on TikTok. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you'd think, because it's been months, right? Like since it blew up, and I think only when, I don't know if, because I don't think the comment to Lenka, whoever commented on Lenka's page, was the first time of Lenka hearing it. Maybe it's just been a long time. The proceedings have been going on in the background.
Yeah, probably.
But it's kind of, it's a little bit sketch if you ask me. But what do we know? Right? We don't really know the whole story, right? So Wapau?
Wapau.
All right, let's talk about the hot trending topic from last week. Justice for Killua. So there was a golden retriever who there was a CCTV video of a man named Anthony Solares, who was a resident in Camarines Sur, who apparently did show there was a video showing this guy, si Solares, killing the golden retriever. And, you know, people, when they first saw the video, you know, initial reaction is, wow, that's crazy. Especially when, you know, the temperament of golden retrievers, they're usually very chill. And they're like probably the nicest dogs in terms of the breed. But so because of that, there was on social media, the hashtag Justice for Killua. But then since that video came out, there's been a lot of kind of extra things that have come out of the woodwork, including... Especially regarding the owner of the golden retriever. People were saying like she wasn't taking care of the dog properly. There was even an analysis on like the body of the dog after, and apparently the si Killua had rabies. But this we are not sure if they had rabies before it was killed or not, because it was supposedly found in a
well
bag,
if it was
right
okay.
So, you know, it was
but
in a
if it were, bag. You know, if the dog was found with rabies, wouldn't you think that they had rabies, like it had rabies even before? But the thing is, for me, I think that is independent from the action that was done to the dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so, fine, let's say he had rabies. Okay, there is some responsibility that should be, you know, like put on the owner. But it should be independent from the action that is killing the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Diba?
So let's go into the timeline, because I found a pretty comprehensive timeline on this whole thing. So on March 17, the owner of the dog, her name is Vina Arazas, but on Facebook she goes by Vina Rachel. She revealed that her pet golden retriever, si Killua, was found lifeless in a sack. She then posted multiple images and videos, most notable of which are the CCTV footage showing an individual attacking Killua, which is the guy, Anthony Solares. She explained that the escape of Killua was a mystery since the gate was locked and the dog was kept inside the house. Now, 2 days later, During a Senate hearing, news outlets reported that due to the public outcry, which we just talked about, Senator Grace Poe urged fellow lawmakers to prioritize the passage of Senate Bill 2458, which seeks to enhance animal welfare. So I didn't know that. So there we go. That's a bill that Grace Poe's trying to pass. Several pets were in attendance, including rescue animals and personal pets of lawmakers at this meeting. Now, on March 20, the guy who attacked the dog appeared in an interview on One News, explaining that he did what was necessary in the moment, since Kilua was allegedly aggressive, attacking and biting other individuals in the vicinity, including himself. He did admit to killing Kilua and bringing the dog to Scarinderia, but he denied putting the dog in the sack and preparing the dog to be slaughtered for meat. So news outlets also indicated that that more CCTV footage was acquired showing additional key incidents. So it goes on and on, but even Jessica Soho, there was an episode, Kapuso Mo,
yeah,
where both the owner of the dog and the attacker of the dog were interviewed, and also different members of yung mga animal rights groups like PAWS. Mm. So supposedly the relationship between the owner of Kilua and Kilua itself was a good relationship. But Anthony Solares also had a pet dog of his own. An extended video footage did show Kilua jumping off the roof of the household of the owner. So that was okay. The explanation of how he got out, I guess.
The video where he was jumping off of the roof was the same day that he was killed.
I believe so. It was just not. Yeah, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't the video that went viral. You know, it was the video of the dog getting attacked, but apparently it was from that same day. And there was also additional footage showing Kilua lunging at an old lady who was walking by. So that does add context in terms of, you know, people might have found it hard to believe that this golden retriever was aggressive, but there is footage showing Kilua being aggressive towards others. So in terms of the guy's motivation to attack the dog, I'm not saying he was justified, but I could see if it was the case where Kilua was threatening himself or threatening him and other, maybe his family or friends, I could see where, why he did that. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying like there's more to, and it's not just a senseless killing, I think. I think there's more to it.
But I want to know what was the extent of, you know, the actions. What was the extent of the injuries of Kilua? Kasi parang in my head, if it was, let's say, it's for defense, you know what I mean? Yung parang iniisip ko lang na...
Was it too much?
Dapat hindi siya ganun. Alam mo yun, it was too much. Was there at one point intent already of killing? Or kasi if it was self-defense, why
off,
not,
right?
Like, why not just like stun them or something like that? Stun them in like other ways. What I want to know is really the extent of the injuries, because I feel like that's where you will know if there was intent, I feel like. Kasi if iisipin mo, was it justified to kill this living being?
Yeah.
Just because you felt threatened? That's my question.
Yeah, it depends on the context, right? Because if, I mean, because if the dog really, if Kilua had rabies before he was found in the, you know, the dump or whatever. Because they're saying, so PAWS did release that Kilua did test positive for rabies, but they couldn't they couldn't really assess if it was, if he had rabies before the attack or because he was located in a contaminated area. And here's an extra little tidbit that might sway other people. So the owner of the dog did say that Kilua did have anti-rabies shots. However, it was not administered by a licensed veterinarian, but by one of her siblings who was allegedly in the medical field. So that's just a little bit of extra context, which is a little bit, that's a little bit sussy too, if you think about it as well. So I don't know, for me, if a rabies dog is attacked, because rabies is, you know, I didn't think rabies was that serious before. I remember when, you know, people would joke about it a long time ago when I was a kid, like, oh my God, you're going to get rabies. But rabies is like 99.9% fatal.
It's deadly.
It's literally going to kill you.
it is like, it's not a pretty sight when you see people who have rabies. Like they, as in, makita mo talaga, they don't drink water. They parang hindi na sila ganon, because it goes to your brain, if I'm not mistaken. So I also want to know if, like, should the owner also have some sort of responsibility when it comes to this rabies or not?
Not. Yeah, definitely. Diba? I mean, it's all about, I mean, even if the dog, the owner loved the dog, the fact that the dog was able to jump off the roof, according to the CCTV footage, there is some negligence there, I would say.
Pero I don't think the dog deserved to die like that.
Yeah, I don't think any dog.
You know what I mean? Like, there. Yeah, of course. And like, there are, I'm sure that there are a lot of, you know, like, dogs who do have rabies, and that, let's say, the owner and the medical professional have that responsibility, or they get to an agreement that, yes, we're going to end their life prematurely because of rabies for the safety of everybody. So, alam mo yun, na parang ako, hindi niya deserve na ganun mamatay. Alam mo yun? Yeah.
It is a cruel way. It was a cruel way to go, no matter which way you look at it. And was it overkill? I mean, pardon the pun, was it overkill? I would say so. Because I don't know. If I could just scare the dog away, I wouldn't be like chasing after it, right? Diba? Like, I wouldn't be like...
Wouldn't you think
unless this was a problem in the past. Like, I don't know. I don't know kasi the history between Killua and this Solaris guy. If this has been a... Mm-hmm. If Killua had been a problem for them. Because... I've always said, like, especially with pit bulls, man, pit bulls are I get it, like, dog lovers are like, pit bulls are great, but dude, I've read so many stories of pit bulls who were domesticated and they just fucked up the babies of a couple who's been raising them for like 10 years. It's like a nature thing, right? So if there was a problem dog who lived next to me, hypothetically lang, and it was always giving grief and maybe even attack my own dogs, or if I had kids, attack my kids. At one point, you're going to be like, fuck, this dog is a danger to me, right? And to my immediate loved ones. That's just my...
Yeah, but you wouldn't think...
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, I got to kill that dog. No. But who knows who knows in the moment
if
they really felt
like... Wouldn't you think that... Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
wouldn't you think that overkill at one point may intent na siya na talagang patayin to? You know what I mean? And not even thinking about, I'm keeping the community safe. Wala. Parang feeling ko wala na, di ba? Yeah. So that's why I really want to know, like, the extent of it. Like,
The real really victim, transpired. I mean, the victim talaga is Killua, right? Like, I mean, whether it was owner negligence or just over... brutality from the guy who attacked him. It's like, I mean, Kawawa and Golden Retriever at the end of the day. Ah, man. Gosh. Like, and also, like, culpability in terms of this case, like, do you think jail time would be something that should be given, doled out? And if so.
But why would it be different, though? I feel like.
Right.
Why should it be different just because it was an animal?
But what if it was self-defense? Like, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, what if the guy, the defendant, is like, it was self-defense, right? I mean, he could make a case for it. I think he has a case for it. You know, if you take aside all your everything that we talked about, how we wouldn't do it, we can't really say unless we were in that guy's shoes either. And he might have a valid case, at least in terms of the law, based on the additional, you know, footage that came out and Killua attacking an old lady and stuff like that. It could strengthen the guy's case, right?
I wonder, though, if, let's say, the attacker of Killua made it known that, hey, you know, I didn't mean to kill your dog, or like, your dog is gone, would it make a difference in the case? Na parang may admittance right away that, oh, I'm so sorry, like, this happened because it was self-defense, blah, blah, blah. Kasi, did it make a difference na tinago niya?
And ang weird na dilatin na lang sa karinderia.
Oh,
that's fucking weird, right? Like, that to me is, I'm like, why would he do that at all? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially if, like, let's say he feared that Killua had rabies. I wouldn't even be touching that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't even, I would call the right, you know, I would call the
services. You would call authorities. You would tell the owner and everything. Yeah. That's just grim.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the end of the day, you can't take away, I mean, you can't like take, you can't, you have to open your mind that it could have been a fact that Killua was aggressive in this case. Because, you know, when the whole Justice for Killua came out, I think people were thinking it was just an unprovoked animal attack. But I think you have to kind of look at the facts when you, or at least, I don't know how this case is going to progress. I don't know if it already has, actually. I haven't really checked out the updates on it. But, you know, it's just additional context to add to what might have been a knee-jerk reaction to seeing a viral video of a dog being attacked. In lang.
Yeah. But we want to know what you think.
Yeah,
we want to know what you think to all the listeners out there. So let us know. We have our social media. And, you know, we want to get the conversation going, really.
Because, man, I love golden retrievers, man. Like, they're so...
Dogs in general.
But golden retrievers, man, like, every golden retriever I've ever met, it was owned by somebody. They know, I feel like they know the most tricks. You know what I mean? Every golden retriever I've met, they fucking knew all the coolest tricks. Like, they could put a... There was one dog, I forgot whose dog it was. They could put a treat on their, like, head, and then they won't touch it until you give them a command. It was so cool, man.
Aw.
Anyway. Any more thoughts on this, Rika G?
That's it, man.
Yeah, all right. Wapow?
Wapow.
That is the podcast. So just two TTs today. So a little bit shorter, I guess. Although we've been talking for an hour already, I'd say.
I know. But we've always been wanting to cut short the podcast. So today is the day that we will stick to an hour.
An hour,
hope you guys... Yeah, I hope you guys join the conversation. Like I said, we do have our Instagram and Twitter, and it's at the Halo Halo Show, except on Instagram, which is just at Halo Halo Show. We also have a Facebook group. It's the Halo Halo Show Leche Fam. And I think that's it. Our email.
That is it, yeah. So hit us up, and we still have merch as well. If you want to buy merch, just message us on the Halo Halo Show Instagram. And I guess we should extra song. Extra song, Rika G. Hello, the show.
Bye.
Peace.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.